Hey, yo, listen, it's going down just like this.
Spread the word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Praise in the City. Thank you so much for checking in. Hey, y'all. We have a real deep show coming up today. We're going to be talking about current events. We're going to talk about a couple of topics, actually. One relating to our schools, and the other is a socially conscious topic I want to introduce in the midst of the show. But before we get started, I want to start off the day with a moment of inspiration.
Hello? Gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I want to introduce you to. We call him Ike Nice.
Ike Nice.
Oh, yeah. I'm the music major.
With tears rolling down your face. With your heart feeling like it's gonna break. Your earth feels like it's about to shake.
That's how we get in the middle of it, in the middle of all the conversation, all the things on your mind, and what's going on in current events. Thank you so much for checking in. We are Praise in the City here on Praise 103.9 FM. I'm Tiffany Bacon. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got the holidays out of the way, at least until September. And now we can just kind of focus on the summer. But you can never just focus on the summer. At this point, without thinking about school. If you are planning to go back to school or if you have school-aged children, it's rattling around in the back of your mind. We're going to spend the first part of the program today talking about the conditions of our schools, what's going on, if you are aware or if you are not. And then we're going to switch gears and talk about a different topic, and I will introduce that in a matter of minutes. But here to help me to discuss today's topics is our dear friend to the show, Denise Clay. Hi, Denise. Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, Tiffany. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining me, as always. And you are our news guru here.
Oh, my.
Because you, I mean, you just have your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the news, whether it's national, local, or international. And I really appreciate your expertise and your viewpoint on what's happening. All right. So you are talking specifically this morning about what's happening in our schools. Something was supposed to happen that didn't. Let's lay that all out for the audience right now.
Okay, well, first of all, and this all kind of involves the budget, mm-hmm. the state budget, which Governor Corbett finally signed mm-hmm. this week. It's been passed for like a week and a half, but
right.
he finally signed it this week. One of the things that came about as part of the budget was the city had requested a $2 cigarette tax,
mm-hmm.
the ability to levy a $2 cigarette tax, which would mean that if you buy a pack of cigarettes, which are like real expensive now anyway,
mm-hmm.
If you bought a pack for $8, it would go up to $10.
Mm-hmm.
And the law was passed as part of the budgeting process,
mm-hmm.
but the Senate, the state Senate, came back in session this week and really amended this law to the point where, you know, folks are wondering why you did this in the first place, because the original law was to make the cigarette tax a recurring funding stream for the School District of Philadelphia.
Okay.
And it was supposed to be a semi-permanent tax.
Okay.
But because the tobacco lobby, despite what folks might have thought, is still pretty strong,
mm-hmm.
They made the Senate come back into session. They contacted lawmakers. They went back into session. And now there are so many different amendments and other things that are going on with this bill that it does just about everything but help the School District of Philadelphia. For
wow.
example, there are things that are totally unrelated to school district funding that are now a part of this bill. There were programs that that folks in Western Pennsylvania wanted that have been added to this bill. The law now has a sunset, which means that after a certain period, which I believe is like 5 years,
uh-huh.
they can no longer charge this tax, which means in 5 years, the funding that was supposed to be raised from this tax
mm-hmm.
Is going to go away. And with the school district, one of the things that everyone kept talking about during the May primaries was the concept of a fair funding formula for schools.
Okay.
Meaning that where you lived wouldn't determine necessarily what kind of school district you had.
Okay.
If you go into the suburbs where there are richer districts, like say you have Council Rock,
uh-huh.
which is the school district where the teachers make the most money, if not in the state, it's darn close.
Mm.
Their school district is filled with people who live in $250,000 starter mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And some are in houses even nicer than that, which means they get some pretty nice property tax revenue. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of the property tax revenue you pay, if you pay property taxes, goes right into school district. So if you're living in a place, you know, filled with, you know, multimillionaires and starter mansions,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have a better school district than the School District of Philadelphia, which is nationally recognized to have some of the poorest people in the state attending school. So a fair funding formula, which is, like I said, what everybody kept talking about during the primary,
right,
would balance this out where everybody got the same kind of funding, no matter where they live.
Okay.
But in order for the Commonwealth to do that, there are some other things they'd have to do, like impose a tax on the Marcellus shale drillers that have been taking natural gas out of the city.
Now, I will say, you know, with all the different political ads coming up, and I keep hearing about this Marcellus thing, and I will say I had no idea what it was. I didn't know what they were talking about. Can you fully explain what that is?
Well,
and again, how that would help the Philadelphia School District get funding.
Okay, well, the Marcellus Shale is actually a level of atmosphere in the earth. It's like a level of and the word is escaping me right now. It's a level of the earth where you drill down and you can get natural gas from it.
Mm-hmm.
And natural gas is something that everyone is using these days because, you know, when you turn on the television and you see what's happening in the Middle East, you're like, well, this is where we get our gas, and I would like to stop paying $3.50 a gallon.
Right.
So what in the state, in most of the states, where the Marcellus Shale level of the atmosphere is being drilled, the people who are drilling have to pay a tax to do this.
Okay.
Because it affects water supply. It causes a lot of disruption to the land and the ecosystem and stuff. So most states make the folks that are drilling Marcellus Shale pay at the very least a fee to the state to do this, so that, you know, someone gets something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania is one of those states where the fee that the Marcellus Shale drillers, pay is extremely small, and it's only coming to certain places where the drilling is actually being done.
Okay.
What kept coming up during the primaries is the concept of making them pay for exactly what they use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imposing a driller's tax, and saying, you know, we want a certain, you know, set of millions of dollars for you to continue doing this because you're making money off of what's coming out of our ground, and we're not getting anything out of it, and we could use that money to fund our schools. Because according to the Philadelphia Citizens for Children and Youth, there are 16 school districts that are in as bad of shape as Philadelphia's, which means that they're either looking at not starting on time because they don't have enough money, having to close down a lot of schools, or having to lay off hundreds of people.
Okay, wait, I just need to know. First, for those who are just tuning in, this is Praise in the City. On Praise 103.9 FM, we have our special guest, Denise Clay, joining us. She's a journalist extraordinaire, talking about what is going on with the funding for Philadelphia schools, and how different proposals are or are not going to help our schools function and prosper in the upcoming school year. So if you do have school-aged kids, please, please, please listen up, listen up, listen up. If you are a parent or a student yourself, give us a call if you have any questions for Denise about what's happening, what you can expect come September, which you can expect in the end of August. If you are a teacher, which you can expect. If you have questions or comments, give us a call, 215-263-1039. Again, our number is 215-263-1039. Denise, this whole Marcellus Shale thing that you're talking about sounds really interesting, but what is really the reason why Philadelphia schools, especially the ones in the poorer neighborhoods, are just... Why is it so hard for us to have the basics we need to have very good, prosperous schools. What is going on with that? Like,
let me see if I can explain this to you in a way that, you know, isn't going to take us like 5 or 6 hours to do.
Amen.
First of all, the School District of Philadelphia is one of the few schools, is one of only two school districts in the entire Commonwealth that is not controlled by the people who actually live there.
Mm.
First of all, Philadelphia had the distinction of having one of the only appointed as opposed to elected school boards. But in 2001 or 2003, where the school district was taken over by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. No one liked the test scores.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was concerned about the money, you know, that was spent in the school district. They didn't feel that the district was spending the money correctly. So the state took the district over.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is the state has treated the city of Philadelphia school district like a really bad four-year-old.
Mm.
You ever see those really bad four-year-olds that have, like, these piles of toys that they play with wrong, where
mm-hmm.
they're, like, throwing the toys around and breaking them up and everything
mm-hmm.
like that? And yet another kid will walk up and want to play with one of these toys,
mm-hmm.
and this bad four-year-old has just been throwing this toy all over the place. It's like, no, that's mine. You can't play with it. Even though I know you're going to play with it better, you know, in a way that you're supposed to play with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how the school district has been handled by the Commonwealth.
Mm.
The Commonwealth has basically been that really bad four-year-old that's been throwing the district around.
Mm.
And while Ed Rendell, when he was governor, was not as bad a four-year-old,
mm-hmm.
Tom Corbett has needed to go on in time out for a while. When it comes to the district, I mean, depending on who you talk to when you talk about Corbett in the district,
mm-hmm.
either he's cut $1 billion from public education totally,
mm-hmm.
which really hurt the district because the Commonwealth controls it, or he's given more money. It's just nobody can find it.
Oh,
but
yeah, talk about that for a couple of seconds. He's given money, but nobody can find it. What is
well,
that?
Says that he's increased education funding. Now, if you have increased education funding in the Commonwealth, why are all of the school districts laying people off?
Mm.
Why is it that you have these 16 school districts in addition to Philadelphia that are doing so badly if the state has given, you know, more money toward education? Now, we could talk about how the state's share of funding for education in the Commonwealth has precipitously gone down since Bob Casey was governor,
mm-hmm.
which is when the cuts actually started. But, you know, this is kind of like a manifestation of a problem that's been going on for a long time. And you have mandates within every school district budget that you absolutely must pay for. You must pay for special education.
Mm-hmm.
You must pay for Title I. There are certain things in your school district budget that no matter what you do, you have to pay for. And you can't cut those things.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up cutting the things that you can cut, which are, you know, types of programs and types of things like AP classes and,
mm-hmm.
and different things. You cut where you can, and unfortunately, those cuts affect a whole lot of people, which is why you have people within the school district, when the budgeting process for the school district first started, saying that, if we don't get a certain amount of money, we're either not going to be able to open schools on time
mm-hmm.
or we're going to have to lay off thousands of people. In fact, 300 plus people got layoff notices from the School District of Philadelphia just this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is all very real. And what people need to recognize is that every parent should have Election Day circled on their calendar,
mm-hmm.
because the electoral process is exactly what covers all of this. When you have educators and elected officials, and they don't really know much about what each other does,
mm-hmm.
it helps for you to pay attention to what particularly the elected officials say about education, because they're the ones that are going to be making the policy.
Mm.
And I don't think that we pay enough attention to who we put in office and who is making the educational policy, because if we did, we probably have people who actually know that you just can't not educate kids, because you're going to pay for it one way or the other. You're either going to pay for it up front and mm-hmm. make sure the kids know how to read and write, or you're going to pay for it on the back end when these kids don't know how to read and write mm-hmm. and go around knocking people off at ATMs and mm-hmm. wind up in jail.
It's just heartbreaking, because, you know, just as a citizen, you're thinking, hi, it just makes sense to put the funding into the schools to make sure it happens. However you need to do it, make sure this one is taxed or that is taxed or whatever it is you need to do. Let's make sure that the schools have the funding, because can we really afford to have undereducated students? Can we afford really on the back end, like you were saying, to have people uneducated, unprepared for their futures, and of course not have any jobs available to accommodate those who do not have significant amounts of education? I am looking for you to give us a call if you want to comment on this. How are you feeling hearing this news, if you did not know that, about what's going on with the school district? Release your thoughts. Of course, keep it Jesus. Release your thoughts about what is happening in Philadelphia schools, because we are going to change topics in a little bit. But I want to give you an opportunity to call in, even ask questions. If you heard something this morning that Denise said that you were unaware of, ask her a question now. Because now is the time. 215-263-1039. How are you feeling about the condition of Philadelphia schools and the recent passing of this bill? So give us a call. 215-263-1039. Denise, if you had a child right now in the school district, whether it was lower school, middle school, or upper school, what would you as a parent be prepared to do before the fall?
Wow. Well, the way the district is right now, you really have to pay attention to what the school you're sending your kids to is like. And, you know, when parents try and tell me that they don't have time to go to their kids' school to mm-hmm. make sure that the school is educating them properly, mm-hmm. I kind of look at them like they have two heads, because when I was growing up, my I'm a military kid,
mm-hmm.
and my dad, who was in the military, would sometimes come in from another country and check us out in school to make sure that we were doing what we were supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you can tell me that you have, I don't know, the Vietnam War as an excuse,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I don't buy it.
Right.
And, you know, parents now more than ever need to be at their kids' school, making sure that their teachers are teaching them what they're supposed to learn, that they have what they need for school, and different things. If I had a kid right now
mm.
who was in school, I would probably be in his or her class every day.
Mm.
You know, just to make sure that everything is going okay, for no other reason, but parents are being asked to contribute things that when you and I were in school,
mm-hmm.
we got. Like,
right.
When I was teaching in an alternative program, I would spend a fairly nice chunk of the money I made at Staples,
mm.
buying stuff that I never thought that, you know, teachers would ever have to buy, like
right.
notebooks. And
wow.
construction paper and pens and colored pencils and stuff like that, because
wow.
it's not included in the budget. Heck, you know, there are places in Philadelphia where the kids, you know, are studying history from books that say that Carter was president.
Oh.
And, you know, I was in high school. school when Jimmy Carter was president. That was a long time ago.
I'm not even going to tell you what grade of school I was in when Jimmy Carter was president, but it certainly was a high school. And I will say that's terrible. Listen, Denise, let's take a phone call. Again, you're listening to Praise in the City on Praise 103.9 FM. If you have a comment about the condition of Philadelphia schools and what's about to happen, still we don't have any money. Still things are looking pretty terrible. Still people are getting laid off. Give us a call. 215-263-1039. Let's go to Lynette calling in from the Philadelphia area. Lynette, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Tiffany. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great.
Awesome sauce. Okay. What's your comment?
How the Philadelphia School District, if they stop misappropriating funds, then the children have the money that they need. They put labels on children, such as mentally gifted labels, but then they do nothing to take the child to the next level. How do you do that? If you don't have a parent, such as myself, who does her job, then where does that leave your child?
Right. Right.
And,
right.
And well, that makes a very, very good point. A lot of people don't realize that when that part of the special education budget is gifted and talented.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that is supposed, those courses are supposed to be funded. They are mandated. And it's a good thing that you as a parent are staying on top of that, because I've seen parents that haven't stayed on top of, you know, their kid getting the gifted and talented stuff they're supposed to get. And, you know, when you're a gifted and talented kid and you're learning stuff that, you know, is well below your level of, you know, your level of intelligence, you get bored.
Mm.
And when you get bored, you act out.
Mm-hmm.
And when you act out, you become a behavior problem.
Yep.
And then they put you in another, another brand of special ed, which they could have solved if they just gave you what you were supposed to have.
In the first
from
place.
From the beginning, but as a parent, you have to fight with them tooth and nail, because I'm living it right now.
Yeah.
I was told it was a favor and take my daughter to this school. How is that a favor? It's been a nightmare. She has gotten nothing that she needs, but guess what? God prevails all.
Amen.
We're going to get everything we need and more, because it's her right.
Yeah, that's absolutely
right. She's advanced in every area, PSSA, Terra Nova, because that's my job, that's her job, so they need to get on their job.
And stay on top of it, because...
Oh, trust and believe. I've just spoken. I have a lawyer now for my daughter. Oh, I'm not playing with them. She earned this, and you must give it to her.
Mm-hmm.
I can only take her, but so far. That's why we have levels and stages in school.
Yeah, absolutely.
They gave her absolutely nothing for 2 years. 2 years,
oh,
and I've been on them, and you know what they told me?
Mm.
Know what the end result was?
What?
The end of the school term? If I don't like it, the way they do things at the school that she's at, then she can go to the neighborhood school. How dare
Ooh.
You? This was a top official at 440. That's a bully tactic. You bullied my daughter, and now you're going to try to bully me? Well, they have the right mom on the right day, because it's not only about my baby, it's about everybody's baby.
Right.
And if I don't stand up now, who's going to do it? And I'm just one, and I'm not the only one that it's happening to, but I'm the one who's fighting, and I'm going to fight.
Wow. Lynette, I commend you, and I thank you so much for, one, standing up when a lot of people may not. I appreciate hearing that. Also, too, thank you for listening to the program and calling in
Tiffany,
to share your story.
I listen to you all the time.
Oh, Mama, thank you. I really appreciate that. And thank you for sharing your story, because I'm sure, like you said, there are other parents going through that whole,
yes.
If you don't like it, leave. You know, you hear people say that in relationships, or you hear people say that in
you
other situations. But in school, like, why is... Everybody's goal not the same, which is to benefit the student overall. So
but
thank
these
you.
These are officials, not to cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
These are people that you hand your children over to because you think they have your child's best interest at heart,
yeah.
And they don't.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's the saddest part of it all. They're supposed to be educators. What are they really teaching our children?
Mm. Well, Lynette, thank you so much.
You're
really appreciate
welcome.
Your
Have
call.
A great day.
You do the
you
same.
Too.
All right. Denise, hold on the line. Hey, if you're calling in, feel free to. We will continue the conversation for a little while longer. We are going to take a brief pause. But if you do have a comment about the first part of our show, which is the condition of Philadelphia schools, why we can't seem to get funding, and what's going to happen on the back end, give us a call. 215-263-1039. Stay with us. Praise in the City continues after this.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station. Now back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And welcome back. We're in the second half of today's edition of Praise in the City. Thank you so much for joining me today. First part of the show, we've been talking about education and the miseducation of Philadelphia schools. How about that? We're going to take another call on the subject before we change gears today. And we're going to have an interesting topic for the remainder of the show. But Rosalie is online, and she has a comment about the condition of Philadelphia schools. Rosalie, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Mm-hmm. I'm just fine.
Awesome.
I don't have any answers for what's going on now, but I do know that the last elections I have been working, you know, for voter registration,
mm-hmm.
and the young people that have children in school, just like the previous caller said, that the parents won't come out to the schools.
Yeah.
These same people, when I work the registration, I'll be in the stores trying to get the voter registration up. People that are that age, they'll come in with 3-4 children dragging behind them, and you stop them and ask them, are you registered to vote? Would you care to register to vote? They look at you and say, I'm good.
Mm.
But then people that are 50, 60, 70, you ask them, and they get a smile on their face, and they say, oh, yes, I'm registered to vote, and I will be voting. See you at the polls.
Mm.
So there's an election coming up in November, and if they want to change this, they need to get out and vote. That's all I have to say.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Thank you so much for bringing that up, and I really appreciate you calling in this morning.
Okay. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you. Our special guest today is Denise Clay. She is our journalist extraordinaire, joining us as she often does when it's, you know, time to talk about news and political topics, especially because I know you're really deep into the political beat and whatnot. But I wanted to bring something up, and I am acknowledging that I'm switching gears, and I want to bring this up. Not really related to schools, but related to something we all can identify with, which is our own self-identification. How do we look at who we are? And I bring this up because later on today, I should say around 12 noon this afternoon, there's going to be a taping of a TV show called The Hype. It is a talk show for, by, and about young women. And they are looking for people to join the studio audience, especially young people, but adults are strongly encouraged to be in the audience as well. They're talking about some serious topics that do affect our young people, but this one topic affects all of us who are African American. And the question is, what does it mean to be Black? And we bring this up because when we talk to young people and they talk about what is their Blackness, what is, if you think about somebody who's Black, what's the first thing that comes to mind? And then you may hear people say, oh, you ain't Black because you don't like this, or you ain't Black because you don't do that. Or if Black people like to ski, you ain't really Black. Or if Black people listen to certain types of music, you ain't really Black. What does that all mean to you as an individual, if you are African American. We're going to investigate that today. If you'd like to be a part of that television discussion, I'll give you more information on it. But I wanted to open the phone lines up now to think about, hey, what does that mean? Does it mean anything to me, or do I just look at myself as a person? I don't associate culture to myself. I just live my life as a person, and I don't really identify with my culture. Or does your culture really have a strong impact on who you are? If it does, then what does it mean to you? So I want to open up the phones to see how you feel about that. What does it mean to be Black in your book? Give us a call. 215-263-1039. If you're non-African American or mixed race, mixed with African American or not, what does it mean to you when you hear someone say, I'm African American or I'm Black? What does that mean to you? Give us a call. 215-263-1039. I'm going to open the phone to you. I love to hear your comments, but Denise, I definitely would like to hear yours, because I think you and I have a similar background in that certain terms were thrown at us as young people because of the way that we speak or even the way that we dress.
I'm awake now.
If nothing woke you up, that's going to wake you up right now. Like, what? What is she saying? What's she talking about?
Yeah, I'm awake now. Mm-hmm. See, there was a hashtag on Twitter not too long ago that I think the root.com started called Not All Black People Like.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that are commonly associated with Black people that whenever I talk about these things, people want to pull my quote-unquote Black card. Like, I have never seen a Friday movie. I think Tyler Perry is possibly the worst writer-director in the entire country.
Okay.
And
how do you really feel, though?
And at one time, I was running around with Mohawk, and steel-toed Doc Martens, listening to punk music. So right there, there's a certain segment of the population that would assume that I'm not Black, and yet I'm also the former president of the Philadelphia Association of Black Journalists. I've been Black for 50 years now, and I find it works for me. And the thing is, We look at Blackness, or we look at any kind of racial distinction within communities of color from a stereotypical and also a political view. Being politically Black means that there are certain things that you support, or that you are alleged to support, because that's what people. And in terms of stereotypically Black, it depends on what popular culture says it is these days. Like when I'm walking around and I'm seeing white kids, blasting Meek Mill out of their speakers, I know that this is their way of trying to connect with Black people. But the thing is, not all Black people like certain things.
Right.
We are not a model.
Not all any people like the main thing that is associated with what they like.
Right. We are not a monolith. And sometimes I think that when we talk about who is Black or who is not, based on the fact that you can, write a sentence with proper subject-verb agreement, or not every word out of your mouth is a curse word, or anything like that, I think that when we do stuff like that, that's more of a political thing than it is an actual cultural thing. Now, those things are a part of our culture, and we can't, get away from them, because there are a lot of things that Black people created that are now being used by everybody. But among the things that were created by Black people that we have basically allowed to be taken away from us is stuff like rock and roll music. Which I kept having to explain to people when I was running around with a Mohawk and steel-toed Doc Martens being a punk. I'm like, no, I'm not doing anything that's counter to my culture. I'm doing something that's extension of what my culture created. Mm-hmm. And besides, if you've never heard the rock band Living Color, I feel sorry for you.
Right. And those of us who listen to a lot of different types of music, especially in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, that was definitely on the list of, yo, these dudes are cool type thing. Mm-hmm. I want to hear from you. And I'm telling you, I brought this up because it's really interesting to talk to people in various generations. If you ask them that question, if you ask a baby boomer that question, and then you ask a Generation Xer that question, then you ask the millennials that question, or the one after that question, the answers are so varied. It makes me really say, what does that mean? And does it still have a meaning for people in this new age where everything just seems so up in the air and everything is so individual? Does it still hold true? Does it still hold any weight? And what weight does it hold for you? So we're asking this question of African Americans, what does it mean to be black? If you're not African American, hey, don't touch the dial. There's some things you could learn about what folks have to say. And two, if you're not African American or you're mixed race, what still does that mean for you? If you say someone is black, what are the things that come to mind for you? What do you think of? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. We're going to take some phone calls, Denise. We have Cynthia calling in from the Philadelphia area on line two. Cynthia, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi. You sound nice and awake, mama.
Yes, I've been up for a while.
Amen. Okay, what's your thoughts? What does it mean to be black in your book?
Yeah, well, in my book, what it means to be black is to, it's just a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you grow up in, say, the hood. You know, you're used to certain things. And then when people notice that you don't do what everybody else do, like, for instance, you may not like ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a person, oh, you're not black because you don't eat ketchup. Well,
what,
ketchup?
You mean ketchup on your eggs? You know what you mean, ketchup, period? Ketchup on your eggs, your hot dogs, your hamburgers, is that what you're talking about?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's just a cultural thing that people get in their heads that we, as black people, we automatically do, but... Mm-hmm. No.
And while I have you on the phone, because I don't want to hold you too long, Cynthia, and I appreciate your comment, and I know we have other people on the line, and I want to get to them as quickly as possible. I wanted to introduce, though, in terms of culture, where does speech, voice quality, and speech patterns come into play? Because that's one thing I know for myself was an issue growing up in North Philly. I sound very clear, and it was almost beaten into me that I was going to not fracture verbs and I was going to speak a specific way, as my mother would say, speak the king's English. And for that, I you know, got some teasing. Where does that fall into the culture, this using quote-unquote Ebonics or using a different way of speaking? Where does that fall into the culture, and why do people who speak quote-unquote the King's English catch it so much?
I think basically that's just the area that you're in, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just the area you're coming up in, where certain areas are more Ebonic than other areas. You know, it's like, I don't know, it was just something. I'll be 57 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something about being raised in West Philadelphia, opposed to being raised in North Philadelphia.
Okay.
Not that you were any better than anyone else, but people tend to think that when, oh, you was raised in West Philly, oh, you're a little above as your speech.
Okay.
Okay,
you know? so you're putting it into the neighborhood sections, okay? So like different neighborhoods view other neighborhoods in a different way. I got you. I'm gonna have to cut you on that one, Cynthia, though. Thank you so much for your comment. Thank you, Mama. I appreciate you listening today.
Oh, you're so welcome. I listen every day.
Awesome sauce. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. Let's go to Candy calling in from Philadelphia on line three. Candy, good morning. You're live on the air. Hey, Candy, are you there? Oh, wait, Candy, it sounds like your phone's breaking up. Are you there, Mama? Oh, no. Okay, we're going to have to go to the next caller. We have Janice calling in from New Jersey. Janice, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I am blessed.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So what does blackness or being black mean to you?
Well, being black, of course, the color and the hues of all of who we are is wonderful. Mm-hmm. But being black in corporate America and being black in nonprofit world and all of that means that we have to be better than we even think we can be.
Mm.
And we have to overcome not only the stigmas outside of our race, but I think that we have to overcome the stigmas within our own race.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even within ourselves, because oftentimes we are our worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, we minimize ourselves. We don't stretch. We don't go for it. You know, we use things for excuses. And, you know, there may be some validity to some of the challenges, but we have to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you have somebody in the White House, and by the way, I am so proud of, that's the first person I'm proud of being in public housing,
mm-hmm.
because the White House is public housing. So the first black man I'm glad is in public housing. So,
interesting.
You know, and if he can get there,
uh-huh.
there are so many things that we can do, but we have to overcome ourselves
mm-hmm.
and, uh-huh. and be confident that, yes, there are going to be things that are going to get in our way,
mm-hmm.
but you know, if we don't try, how will we ever know that we can?
Amen to that. Thank you so much. That was an awesome comment, Janice. Thank you for listening to us
this
morning.
Have a blessed day.
You do the same. All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Candy. We have Candy back on the line in Philadelphia. Candy, good morning. You're live on the
air.
Good
morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Breathing on schedule. All right, Mama, what's your comment?
I think my comment is this. I think as Black Americans, we don't realize until we leave our neighborhood what is out there, what we can be exposed to. I think if you don't try something, mm-hmm. you won't like something.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get the mindset that there's different things, different ways of showing who we are, you don't have to get up every day and speak a certain way
mm-hmm.
or eat a certain type of food. I think, you know, we limit ourselves to what we see and what we know.
Mm.
I think until the mindset of our generation changed to know that, you know, you're not limiting yourself,
mm-hmm.
we'll never change and accept who we are as an individual, then to recognize who you are as a race.
All right, good comment. I like that, girl. Okay. Sounds like that could be on a card or something. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you listening this morning, and I definitely appreciate you expressing your opinion.
All right, thank you. Be blessed.
All right, you do the same. Bye-bye. Let's go to Darlene, also calling in from Philadelphia. Darlene, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hey, Tiff. I have a 17-year-old. She's basically all A student.
Yay!
She's graduating early. She's going to Temple University.
T.U.?
Yeah, but she was a cyberspace student. She's been there ever since kindergarten, but she goes through that the thing that
mm-hmm.
you don't sound black. She
mm-hmm.
doesn't sound black, but I'll put her on the phone right now.
Okay.
And she's probably not going to get in here, but she typically, she doesn't even listen to the station, but she came in the room and I had it up.
Mm.
And she said, and she came in the room and started, listening, said, tell the truth. They call us Oreos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she actually gets this from the black community.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Why don't you, are you black?
Yes.
Why don't you sound, you know, she got this from one little girl when she was about 11.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they do it over to online school. And the girl said, are you black?
Mm.
She was black. The girl was black.
Mm-hmm.
Because my baby doesn't sound atypical black. She doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why she sounds like that, but she just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but I know how people think black people sound. I know. I think that, too, because I grew
mm-hmm.
up in a hood. Okay, I'm be honest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But my baby, she grew up in the hood, but the hood did not raise her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I try to make sure that she got a better education.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a very bright girl, and she
right.
does. I don't know why she doesn't sound typically black, but she doesn't.
And
it's nothing that she can do about it. She doesn't sound like that.
And that's really interesting. I would like to say, because unfortunately we have to wrap up, but the television show that I was talking about that is taping today, we would love for her to come down and be on the show, because we are looking for all ages, but especially teens, to talk about their experiences in that area. The show...
Wait, I'll put you on speakerphone.
Okay, yes. The show is being taped today at 12 noon. It's going to be at the Philly Cam Studio, and that's on 7th Street between Market and Chestnut, right in Center City, Philadelphia. They are going to be talking about what does it mean to be Black and have people talk about their experiences, if they were called an Oreo, because I definitely was called that for a while, if you were called an Oreo or whatnot. They're also going to be talking about, are women too afraid to be soft? And they'll be talking about side chick culture, women who are comfortable not being the main girl in a relationship. So 7th Street between Market and Chestnut today at 12 noon, and all high school students will get community service credits for participating in the discussion today. So hopefully we'll see you there. All right. Hey, listen, we have to go. So I hope you got the information. If not, we'll post it on our website. With that said, I have to say, my girl, Denise, thank you so much for being a part of the show this morning.
Oh, no problem.
All right. Love you much, Mama. I'll talk to you in just a little bit. Much love going to my offsite producer, Donovan West, and my in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Stay right there. Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.